Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown where we decode the numbers that move markets. I'm Alex, and joining me as always is Jordan. Today we're diving into Mondelez International's first quarter 2026 results. And folks, this one's got some interesting twists. Now, before we get into the snack food giant's performance, I need to mention that this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Thanks, Alex. And what a quarter this was for Mondelez. Right off the bat, we're seeing some really compelling geographic dynamics here. Emerging markets absolutely crushed it with 6.3% growth, while developed markets are showing signs of recovery after some challenging periods.
That's right. And Jordan, I think what stood out to me most was CEO Dirk Van de Put's commentary about the consumer landscape. It's this tale of two worlds. You've got emerging markets like India showing double-digit growth, but then you have this underlying fragility everywhere due to Middle East tensions affecting energy and commodity costs.
Exactly. And let's talk numbers for a second. That emerging markets growth of 6.3% is really broad-based. India was particularly strong with double-digit growth in both chocolate and biscuits. They even launched Biscoff in India, and the line is already sold out. That's the kind of execution you want to see.
Speaking of Biscoff, this partnership keeps coming up as a major growth driver. Van de Put seemed genuinely excited about it, calling it something that will be really quite big for them and for us in the coming years. They're not just doing biscuits, they're incorporating Biscoff cream and crumbs into their chocolate products too.
And that innovation strategy is fascinating. They're making what Van de Put called bigger and fewer bets. Instead of throwing everything at the wall, they're focusing on four key areas: well-being products with protein and fiber, premium chocolate, the Biscoff partnership, and cakes and pastries through acquisitions and brand extensions.
Now, here's where it gets interesting from a financial perspective. CFO Luca Zaramella said they're ahead of expectations in first quarter, but they're maintaining their EPS guidance for 2026. Why? Because they're facing unexpected headwinds from the Middle East situation, extra costs for alternative supply routes, higher oil prices affecting some regulated markets.
Right, and this is where management's capital allocation philosophy really shows. Zaramella was pretty clear. If they do see EPS upside materializing, they're going to invest it back into the business rather than just dropping it to the bottom line. They're playing the long game here, especially with their commitment to strong 2027 EPS growth.
Let's talk about Europe for a moment, because this was a real bright spot. They completed most of their retail negotiations ahead of Easter, saw market share gains, and had what Van de Put called a very robust Easter season. The Biscoff partnership is performing particularly well in Australia and New Zealand, too.
And the competitive dynamics in Europe around chocolate pricing seem to have stabilized. Remember, there were big concerns about cocoa price volatility and how that might trigger a pricing war. But Van de Put said customer negotiations went well, and they're not seeing any major price movements right now. The industry seems to be waiting to see what the main crop brings.
The U.S. market is more challenging, though. Van de Put was pretty candid about consumer confidence remaining low, with expectations it could deteriorate further. But here's the thing. They're still seeing positive momentum in growth channels like value clubs, and brands like Ritz are gaining share in crackers.
Yeah, and Zaramella was optimistic about a volume and revenue inflection in the second half of the year for North America. Sour Patch Kids is apparently going to grow double digits for the full year, and their ventures like Perfect Bar and Who Chocolate continue performing well.
One thing that caught my attention was the supply chain modernization they're planning in North America. They want to bring some co-manufactured lines in-house, invest in packaging flexibility for different pack sizes across channels, and automate their distribution network.
That distribution piece is really interesting. They currently have 55 branches serving retail locations 2 to 3 times per week. By creating automated fulfillment centers with AI, they can reach stores faster while reducing inventory and costs. It's exactly the kind of operational efficiency play you'd expect from a mature consumer goods company.
Now, from an investor standpoint, what are the key takeaways here? First, emerging markets remain the growth engine. It's 40% of their business and showing sustainable momentum with underpenetrated categories and strong brand building.
Second, the developed markets recovery story is gaining traction. Europe's performing better than expected, and while the U.S. consumer remains cautious, they're executing well in growing channels and gaining share in key categories.
And third, their innovation strategy seems focused and disciplined. Rather than scattered product launches, they're doubling down on platforms like Biscoff, premium chocolate, and better-for-you options that align with consumer trends.
The risk factors are pretty clear, too. Ongoing Middle East tensions creating cost pressures, fragile consumer confidence globally, and the need to navigate cocoa price volatility. But management seems to have these under control and is taking a measured approach to guidance.
What I found refreshing was their transparency about trade-offs. They could have raised guidance based on first quarter performance, but they're choosing to reinvest potential upside into growth initiatives. That's the kind of long-term thinking that can create sustainable value.
Absolutely. And with emerging markets still underpenetrated in their categories, successful innovation launches gaining traction, and operational improvements in the pipeline, there are multiple levers for growth beyond just the current quarter.
Before we wrap up, Jordan, any final thoughts on what investors should be watching going forward?
I'd keep an eye on three things: emerging markets, momentum, sustainability, especially in China where consumer confidence is still recovering, the success of their innovation platforms, particularly Biscoff expansion, and how well they execute that North American supply chain modernization.
Great points. And of course, cocoa price dynamics will remain a key variable for the chocolate business globally.
Just to wrap things up, everything we've discussed today is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Thanks for tuning in to Beta Finch. We'll be back next time with another earnings deep dive. Until then, keep those portfolios diversified and those questions coming.
See you next time.
That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.